So getting back to our primary topic today, the Helsin case. So the supply and purchase agreement, as I think we've sort of covered, was announced in a joint press release. The manufacturing party also had to file it with the SEC. Companies that are small enough and have enter agreements that are material to their business arrangements, I think that's counted as something like more than 5% of their potential revenues. They need to file agreements like that with the SEC. Obviously, you don't want a confidential agreement getting filed, so they partially redacted that, filed it with the SEC. So there was some information out there in the public, joint press release, the 8K filing at the SEC, and the Federal Circuit said, well, the existence of the sales made public by those documents, and we don't care that you didn't detail all the invention in there. You've disclosed that the sale occurred. And they used some sort of funky wording there to state it clearly. I've got it at the bottom. Being on sale does not require publication of those sale details. So what is one to do? Well, obviously, keep your sales transaction secret if you can. Again, in my scenario I described at the beginning, you might have another party that doesn't choose to see it the same way you do, especially if it's your patent rights and they don't care whether you file a patent application or not. So the first and obvious point is keep your transaction and commercial agreements secret until the patent application gets filed. The other two important points to try to prevent the scenario I described is enter a non-disclosure agreement with the other party before you even start negotiating the commercial agreement to manufacture or sell or whatever it is. And make sure there's a non-publication provision, too, that anything about the invention, any provision in the agreement, as much as you can lock down, make that clear from the earliest non-disclosure agreement. Because the parties may be negotiating an agreement that has confidentiality clauses in it, but until it's signed, the other party may not be bound to confidentiality, and they may publicize something and wreck your patent rights. So make sure you have some control of that before you start disclosing too much to the other party. So let's get into some more sort of, I'll call them advanced tips that relate to drafting and thinking about this from more of the, and when I say drafting, I mean the agreement drafting perspective, because this case is really two parts. It's both the patent law issues and it's the commercial agreement issues. So here the Federal Circuit said MGI agreed to purchase exclusively from Helsin, and Helsin agreed to supply their requirements. So that's sort of a 100% thing, like everything you need, we're going to make and give to you. And it identified the product and the weights of the product. The composition was known, the amount was known, maybe there were other excipients in there, but the agreement had all these details. Now, contrast that with the Medicines Cove versus Hospira case from 4 years ago, where the Federal Circuit said, well, the absence of the passage of title, right, if title to the products hasn't been transferred to the manufacturer, the confidential nature of the transaction, no press releases, and the absence of commercial marketing all of the invention, all counsel against applying the on-sale bar. So when you think about that, what that really means is the Federal Circuit is saying, as they often do, without saying it, our decisions are based on the totality of the circumstances. And when you start to think about all the different facts and circumstances here, you know, what could you do differently, Helsin, or a company in Helsin's position, to avoid the same outcome in the future? Well, you can start to think about some of the things from the medicines case where the outcome came out oppositely, if you want to consider them as direct opposites, which they're not really. But there are factors there that are good to think about because they can help one figure out how to advise clients. So a couple of things. You can structure your transactions not as a sales or purchase agreement, but as a license agreement, as a manufacturing or supply agreement, or as a commercial marketing or distribution agreement, right? These are just other types of agreements, and they are used for different kinds of things, in different scenarios. Sometimes maybe they're not applicable to what you're trying to do, but sometimes you might be able to make it work. Or maybe it's a license coupled with some other agreement. So you have to start to think creatively when you're drafting agreements, when you're also thinking about the patent rights and if you're trying to tee something up before the invention in your mind is ready to patent. You may not be ready to file it because you think you can improve it before you make your first filing, but you also want to start trying to figure out how you're going to get it sold. Your client, of course, is going to get it sold or get it made or get it distributed to the right places. And so some companies start those operations while they're still finalizing and refining the product and then going to get it patented. So it's not always an intentional thing where companies are trying to game the system, sometimes it's just commercial reality. They're just trying to do all this stuff at once because they're trying to make a buck. So license agreements. Well, we know it's not a sale. In the Helsin case, the Federal Circuit focused on the fact this was a supply and purchase agreement, not a license agreement. So I've got a case site here, right? A license to an invention is not a sale of the invention. And what does a license agreement do? Well, generally, it's a license to make, use, offer for sale or sell or import. I'd left that off, but you could import in a license sometimes. The manufactured product or the article, services, whatever it is, the method, patented method. Payment in a license is typically based on the licensee's eventual sale, right? There aren't products being made today. It's, we're giving you the right to this patent. What are you going to go do with it, licensee? You're going to go figure out how to make it and sell it to the customers. So often licenses have a royalty provision, milestones for certain developments perhaps, but usually a royalty provision. And the royalty is based on net sales or gross revenue or whatever it is you choose, but it's based on the sales down the road, not the sales today. So that's a helpful fact that might help courts see we didn't really intend to sell it. We're really licensing our IP assets, not actually making the products covered by that IP.